Oh, baby. Just it's not even been a week and I already miss back to the bars. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I mentioned this earlier, but I'll mention it again. Many of you definitely into the local live music scene, and a lot of you say, "Well, Tom, how come you always know where people are playing?" Well, it's easy. What you do is you go to a gentleman Facebook page, Jim Kadrina, KADRY. N-A, Jim Kadrina. He lists all of the days, all of the bands, all of the venues, all of the times, and that's how it operates. And we have a lot of great musicians here in Western New York. So that's how I know. And you can know too, thanks to Jim Kadrina. We're talking right now about the situation between Hamas and Israel over Gaza, and it's a mess. It really is. Let's get back to Gon in Buffalo. Let me just get the proper computer mouse working. Gon, just talking about the situation with the alleged beheading of babies. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. I must tell you, I don't know what the truth is because, and I hope you'll forgive me, historically, the first victim of any war seems to be the truth. And I can remember again the young lady swearing under oath that the Iraqi soldiers were taking Kuwaiti babies off of incubators and throwing the babies aside. And turned out after the war, that really didn't happen. And the same thing in World War I with the German army and the Belgian babies. I mean, bayoneting babies seems to be one of the big propaganda tools that is used in a war. I'm not saying that it has not happened, sir. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. What I'm saying is I need more evidence and documented evidence. Something that's serious. You just don't, you can't jump to a conclusion. Obviously, if that in fact is a documented fact with witnesses under oath and videos and all kinds of beyond any doubt evidence, whoever perpetrated those crimes has to be prosecuted as a war criminal. But I never like to jump to conclusions about alleged war crimes in the white heat of passion. Can you understand that? Can you at least respect that?
I tell you, thank you, Tom. First of all, again, thank you for inviting me. I like your show, by the way, whenever little I get to listen. I want to say, you said jumping. First of all, I'm from Israel. I served in the military. I have lots of experience and knowledge. I know you were looking for someone like that today. Per your question, jumping to conclusions is when usually you see dead kids in Gaza, dead children, innocent people. And then you jump to conclusions. Oh, Israel striked a hospital, a school. They killed innocent people. They killed babies. It's a genocide. You understand what I'm saying? Jumping into conclusions is seeing those pictures without asking how it happened, what happened. And the answer is always that Hamas is hiding rockets in schools and hospitals, so Israel targets those schools and hospitals. Before Israel strikes anything, Israel always spreads flyers, leaflets, making phone calls and text messages and firing warning shots. Those are the things people never bother to investigate, but they jump into conclusions. About the beheaded baby, Israeli babies. First of all, if you don't believe President Biden that has watched and testified in live, then I really can't help you. But I wanted to ask you, Tom,
To
what
be to
do
be
you
honest
believe?
with you, to be honest with you, my friend, I don't believe President Biden, but it's not limited to just this situation.
Do you believe the Holocaust?
Of course, sir, I had two
Since
great
6 million
uncles.
people?
Sir, I had two great uncles who served in Hitler's Wehrmacht, and on the other side of my family, I had Jews that were probably being killed by the other side of my family. So, do I believe in the Holocaust? Is that a serious question?
You're saying that seriously you don't believe anything that Hamas has been doing. Do you believe 1,300 citizens have been slaughtered?
How
Do you
did
believe
we
that?
go? Okay, if we're going to have a dialogue, I think it's important that we at least have something of a linear dialogue. The original question was, do I believe that the Holocaust happened? I know the Holocaust happened.
Not the original. It was not the original question. You said you doubt the fact that babies were slaughtered because you haven't seen the footages.
And what I said was I don't like to jump to conclusions without conclusive evidence.
Okay.
I don't think so, that's an irresponsible position. You're the one who put us in a time machine then and took us into and took us back to the Second World War and Mr. the Holocaust.
Do you believe? Let me ask you. Have you seen pictures of Hamas terrorists shooting down a party, an outdoor party? Have you seen the women they kidnapped? Have you seen the bodies? Have you seen pictures of women bleeding between their legs?
I have seen all kinds of pictures of all kinds of atrocities.
So what do you believe? What do you believe?
I believe that human
Saturday,
beings.
October 7. What do you believe?
Okay, we are not going to be able to have a conversation. I'm going to hang up on you, and I'll tell you why. Because we're not able to have a conversation. I'm trying to have a dialogue with you, but it is my show. And I'm not going to be cross-examined, especially when you're not affording me the opportunity to answer the questions that you have put forward. So let me simply backtrack here. Yes, I know the Holocaust took place because members of my family served in Hitler's army on the one side, not the SS, but the Wehrmacht. On the other side, Jews in my family, on my mother's side, were likely killed by people on my father's side in the family. I knew Gerda Weissman Klein. I had her on as a guest. I spoke with many survivors when we still had survivors of the Holocaust. There is absolutely no legitimate doubt that the Holocaust took place, that it was a systematic genocide of the Jewish people and many other people that was perpetrated by Nazi war criminals who justifiably were brought to trial after the Second World War for crimes against humanity, waging aggressive war, etc. It is, however, and let's be fair about this, and here we get into the duality of things, and nobody always wears the white hat, for the Soviet Union to sit in judgment. The Soviet Union, which was led by Joseph Stalin, one of the most vindictive, cruel, mass-murdering scumbags in history, for the Soviets to judge any other nation for crimes against humanity or waging aggressive war. We're talking about a nation that waged aggressive war against Finland in the Winter War prior to the Nazi invasion of the Soviet Union because Stalin wanted Finland's nickel. Number one. Number two, crimes against humanity. Soviets perpetrated crimes against humanity not only against the Soviet people and the people of Ukraine. The Soviet Union also perpetrated crimes against humanity against the Polish military, the intelligentsia, anybody of any influence in Poland at Katyn Forest. So, again, you can show me pictures all day long, but what do those pictures show? In the case, for example, of the Katyn massacre, which took place, the Soviets originally said, oh, the Nazis did this. This was a Nazi atrocity. Turns out it was the Soviets who did it. And we found that out definitively after Gorbachev, after Glasnost, and after the fall of the Soviet Union. So that's a couple of points that I wanted to make. Point number two, or perhaps this is number three, until I know the context of a photograph or a movie I am watching, I'm not really in a position to say, well, who killed whom? Who did what to whom? Because I don't have the information. Do I believe... I mean, this is just a common sense question. Do I believe that in war, lots of innocent people are murdered and horribly so? Absolutely. It's happened in our country with our civil war. It happened with the American government's genocidal policy against the First Nations of this country, our Native American brothers and sisters. War is absolute hell. Do I believe that people have a right to defend themselves? Yes, I do. Do I believe that all war criminals ought to be prosecuted? Yes, I do, no matter which uniform the war criminals happen to wear. We have a code of conduct by which soldiers of the signatory nations are obliged to conduct themselves, and when they fail to do so, they must be tried as war criminals. I hope that that answers your question. I wish we would have been able to have a dialogue, but I'm certainly not going to be put on the witness stand on my own show, especially when I'm in a very calm, cool, and collected manner. I'm trying to respectfully answer the questions that you have asked me. And it's bad form to come into somebody's living room and then basically try to take over their living room and change my channel and take my remote and hide my Coca-Cola. That's not cricket. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN and say hello to our next caller, who is Dan on the west side of Buffalo. Dan, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I was rooting for you and him, but this guy has seen a lot, and he's on a hair trigger, and it's too bad. But I can tell you, I had a different experience because I was recruited out of high school by the SDS at UB, and that's where I learned the Palestinian cause.
Now, you say SDS, and I'm going to tell you that 99% of the people out there have no idea which organization you are referring to. Students for a Democratic Society?
Well, so-called. They were actually, as you got to know them, they'd come to you and say, I'm a Trotskyist, I'm a Maoist, you know, this kind. None of them would say I'm a communist, though. But in those days, in the 60s, moderates, which was most people, conservatives, liberals, moderates, all loved Israel. And since then, people are increasingly unaware of the case for Israel, and they hear constantly the case for Palestine. But the Palestinian case that I would express to people in 69 would shock them because it was obviously coming from extremists, and Islamic rulers are not men of peace generally. I mean, you might get luck out and get one somewhere, but that proclivity. I mean, when they put up the border fortifications, when Israel did it, the number of terror incidents went down by a big margin. And that's the thing. Wherever you see border fortifications, it was done of necessity, except for here where they were taking them down after Trump was gone. So, I mean, they were welding the gates open.
See, for you, you can make the argument that it was done out of necessity. Looking at it from the Palestinian point of view, it was basically a crime against humanity. The economic outlook for young Palestinian men in the Gaza Strip is absolutely terrible. The blockade put people through immense amounts of suffering. Let us get back to Dan in the west side of Buffalo. You know, Dan, I think the question may have come up earlier today or the other day about, what do I believe, and do I believe what the government has to say? Let me just say this, that when it comes to governments, and you can include the American government in this, the older I become, the less confidence I have in anything that is said by government officials. And if you want to go, if you want to trace my cynicism and skepticism back to a specific date, it would be when I was a little baby, November 22nd of 1963. And the way the American people were manipulated and lied to regarding the assassination of President Kennedy. And I'm sorry, but Jim Garrison was right. Oliver Stone was right. And we were lied to. My humble opinion is that was a coup d'etat in America without any doubt in my mind. Now, so do I believe in governments and what they have to say? No, I think governments deserve every bit of scrutiny, whether it's the Palestinian Authority, the Israeli government, the American government, hell, the Canadian government. So go ahead.
Oh, Tom, of course. The point is here, though, after I started moving away from strident left, I started learning the case for Israel on my own. And I didn't even know there was a case for it, really, because I was taking the Soviet bloc's account of things. And the, you know, and we even had, we at the SDS, we even had a pet Arab terror group. It was the DPFLP, which is an offshoot of George Habash's PFLP.
Now, you're losing a lot of people here.
I'm sorry.
The bottom line. Give us the bottom line as in a sentence or two.
Well, but again, you know, like facts and factoids, things get misrepresented, as we know. But I mean, for Arabs living in Israel before they put up the fortifications, they were doing better than in most Arab countries. But the leaders never wanted peace, never have. And they have a lot to say about it. As a matter of fact, amongst the Arabs, the people have very little to say about anything. And Israel tried and tried and tried. Land for peace, linked up with Clinton, bad idea, didn't work. And they ended up building bases for terror in those very places.
And Dan, I need to break. I'm sorry. I need to move. I gave you as much time as I possibly could. I'll be happy to take more calls from other people coming up after the news at 5:30 on News Radio 930 WBEN. And the funny thing is, if you're just joining us, is that on several occasions today, what I have told you is I do have a pro-Israel and pro-Jewish bias. But I also am not afraid of any fact. And if people present facts, I'm more than happy to listen to facts. And if my facts are incorrect, then they need to be corrected without any offense whatsoever. But, you know, the wars, any war is won in the temple before it's won on the battlefield, and I am keenly tuned into propaganda. Now, it may very well be that there have been horrible atrocities committed against Israeli babies. It may be. Then again, I'm sorry, but there have been many stories over the years, even in our lifetimes, where what we were told originally turned out not to have been the way things really happened. I'm not saying that is definitely the case with Hamas versus Israel in 2023, but what I am saying is before I jump to any conclusion on something so seriously, I like to make sure that I have all the facts at my disposal, and gaining facts in the fog of war is not a very easy thing to do. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons why I respect President Kennedy and his handling, again, of the Cuban Missile Crisis, because he was not on a hair trigger. He'd already been burned once by CIA and NSA as far as how easy it would be to invade Cuba. So he was very, very much on edge about what he was being told by the Joint Chiefs, etc. So I wish I could say, hey, guys, I know the truth, and here is absolutely the truth, but I'd be lying to you because I don't have the data. I don't have the definite information. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Loves, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. By the way, thanks for all the calls today on the Israel and Hamas situation revolving around Gaza. Look, it's a difficult situation to talk about, and it's something that has been discussed ever since you have been on this planet. It's something I've heard about since I was a little boy, and you've heard about since you were a little boy or a little girl. And, I mean, bottom line is, look, I don't like to see any, I don't like to see anybody killed, and I sure don't like to see any civilians killed, whether they're Israeli, whether they're Palestinian. I think it would be terribly wrong to terribly wrong to root for that. That's not what human beings do. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Your thoughts on everything taking place. What should the United States be doing at this point? What should the United States be involved in over there? Let's get back to the calls. Kevin in Pendleton on WBEN. Kevin, thank you for holding, and you are on WBEN. Welcome.
Hey, Tom. First, begin. Thank you so much for just cutting off that idiot who, just listening to his rude ways he'd been interrupting you, was like using your fingernails against a chalkboard.
I don't think. Kevin, I'm not going to call the man an idiot. He had very strong opinions. He served in the IDF. He's seen things that you and I have not seen. And I'm not going to demean him by calling him an idiot. My only source of contention with the gentleman is that he would ask a question, I would answer it, and then it went places where it didn't have to go. And to be honest with you, when somebody seriously asks me the question of whether I believe the Holocaust took place, anybody who has listened to my show at all over the past 43 or 44 years, whatever it has been, I think you will, anybody with half a brain understands that I'm quite well versed on the Shoah, and had family members, again, who were in the Wehrmacht on the one side of the family, and on the other side of the family, Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jews who were probably killed by the other side of the family. So do I believe the Holocaust existed? I know it took place. I've talked to enough people who survived it over the years. There's not a doubt in my mind. And all I can say about that, too, is the foresight of General Eisenhower, and I think Omar Bradley played a role in this as well, Mark Clark possibly, they had the foresight to bring in the photographers because they knew down the road that there would be people who would question whether these kinds of atrocities took place, the genocide of the Jews and others at the hands of the Nazis. And we've all seen the videos of the German civilians led into the death camps and the concentration camps and leaving in tears with rags over their faces. And by the way, all the nonsense the German civilians offered after the war. Oh, we had no idea what was going on there. We had no idea. I call BS in a big way. They knew damn well what was going on there.
Okay, well, that's what I really call about, and I apologize if I said that, but I meant it idiot in the sense that his behavior, that's what I was talking about.
No,
being
you know
rude.
What?
Hey Kevin,
I don't mean to break news here, but there have been times I've been rude to people as well, so I can't really, I mean, you know, it's all cool, and I hope he calls back at some point. It's just that okay. You know, maybe we got off on the wrong foot. I don't know, but anyway, you're on WBEN.
Yeah, well, Tom, I have in the pits of my gut here, I have a feeling that I haven't had in over 30 years. I don't feel helpless because, thank God, I'm in America. But and what little we have this of the Second Amendment here is something I didn't have where I came from. But I say, I feel in the pit of my gut that we are vulnerable now because this open borders policy, Tom, is just a matter of not just when it's going to happen. And I say that now, David, when I was talking to David the other day, and he complimented Kathy Hochul and some of the leadership in the Democrat Party for denouncing some of the, other politicians who went ahead and cheered this on, right? I said, listen, that's called CYA, and too little, too late. 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, before Desert Storm 1, I experienced living under Islamo-fascism for one terrifying week. Okay? And when I think now that it's just a matter of when, and I really pray and hope I'm wrong about this. But
in other words, Kevin, just so I'm clear as to what you're saying, are you saying that because of what amounts to open borders, that we have far too many military-age young men entering the United States without having been vetted, who may not exactly be pro-American, pro-diversity, pro-freedom of religion, etc.?
Yes, sir, and I'll tell you why. I spoke to Palestinian Americans and even Palestinians. You know, I had reason to have the contact with them. I used to work with a couple of them, okay? And some of them are decent folks, but then never know with people what in their hearts. But I asked one particular chap, you know, what he thought about it all. And I told him about the horrible videos and stuff and with what's happening, what they're doing to the woman and so on. And you know what that guy told me, Tom? He said, don't listen to that's all lies. I'm like, are you kidding me? Look at it. And he says, oh, no. And then he said she deserved it. I ain't lying. And imagine that. And that's just one individual.
On what basis did the woman deserve such an horrific assault?
Yeah. And he said, and I guess I had to restrain myself and pull away. So... You know what, man? You just pray, people, and just be vigilant, because this is just you know, unacceptable, man, unacceptable. And anyway, but
so
as
what,
I said,
what do
know,
we what do we do, Kevin? I mean, you've run for public office. What do we do in the United States?
Means necessary. We don't have, it hasn't been officially declared yet. They have already declared war on Western civilization and anyone who, you know, don't you know, who would not bow to that radicalism, okay? And a lot of these politicians have blood on their hands and will have blood on their hands. And what do? We have to start thinking, going in that state of mind, and it's up to us, the people, to do something about it. And it's not just politically, but people really have to wake up. And I don't know what it will take for that to happen, you know. But anyway, Tom, thanks for allowing me the opportunity, you know, to just share this. But it's not good, you know.
Well, right, I hope... Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Look, I hope you're wrong. Unfortunately, I do believe it makes sense. Unfortunately, we are going to see additional terror attacks in the United States, and some of them are going to be the Islamo-fascists. Some of them are going to be Caucasian Christians. Some of them are going to be African American. Unfortunately, one of the many horrible tragedies about some of these mass killings has been we've seen an increasing diversification of the perpetrators. It used to be, in particular with the mass murders done by shooting, used to be almost universally white men between 18 and 26 years old. Unfortunately, diversity has now made that less of a statistical certainty and more of a question mark. And I think we can all, I mean, I certainly hope that in America we can all agree that these things are absolutely wrong. That just, it goes without saying, and especially in Buffalo, New York, where we had an absolutely atrocious terror attack, which was carried out not by an Islamo-fascist, but by a person whose name we do not use on this program, who had been in some sick, demonic way brainwashed, manipulated, or convinced himself of the necessity for taking innocent lives in Buffalo in what is known as an HDBA, a high-density black area, according to the demographics people. And so many balls were dropped in that particular case that I hate to go back and start juggling them all over again. But the one of the biggest issues I have with that situation is the fact that, given the fact that that scumbag had made documented threats of violence against other people, he absolutely never should have legally been able to obtain or retain a firearm. Never should have happened. He should have been on the NICS list. People have lost their Second Amendment rights for far less than what that individual did. And quite frankly, if he's Whitey Bulgered in prison or Jeffrey Dahmered in prison, there won't be any tears coming from me and probably most of you. And as much as we like to be humane and as much as we might like justice to prevail, that one to me requires a special kind of justice, and it's not particularly pretty, nor should it be. Here's Jim in West Seneca. Jim, talking about the situation in the Middle East. What's your take on everything that's going on?
Hello, Tom. I'm 76 years old. I'm a veteran. I've seen war. I experienced hate. But at the same time, all my life, I've been told, I've heard that the Islamic faith is supposed to preach peace and be among the most peaceful beliefs in the world. And I have to question that. I can remember in the 1970s, I think it was the 70s, when Islamic terrorists invaded the homes and of our athletes, Jewish athletes that were going to participate in the Olympics.
Yeah, you're talking about 1972. It happened in Munich, Germany, and that was an attack upon the Israeli athletes who were going to be taking part in the 72 Olympic Games. And frankly, the West German government absolutely dropped the ball on that. They were not equipped to handle the situation. They were not trained. They didn't have the proper armament. They didn't have the proper strategy. And it was an absolute disaster. And one thing, though, that I think it is important to keep in mind, and the Israelis, see, instead of punishing an entire area such as Gaza, I think what you need to do is be a little more circumspect and go after those who are actually guilty of crimes, as happened following the Munich massacre of Israeli athletes. And by the way, probably also happened with the cluster of murders of Iranian nuclear scientists. And I might also add that the Israelis, and again, we're talking here about targeted justice, the Israelis, and this is a hard story to believe, there was a Nazi commando named Otto Skorzeny, and he actually had rescued Benito Mussolini after partisans had locked him up in a very flimsy jail cell. But believe it or not, when the Egyptians started to use German scientists to develop a rocket program before the Egyptians and the Israelis were actually speaking with one another, the Israelis actually recruited the former Nazi commando Otto Skorzeny to murder some of the German scientists who were involved in the Egyptian missile program. True story, little known era and area of history. It really took place.
Well, also, I would like to just point out that this didn't all start when Israel was developed, when the thousands from Europe went to Israel. There were always Jewish people in the Middle East. In fact, in some countries, they were the majority. They have the right to exist. And when I hear that these people think that, well, the Islamic religion is so peaceful, why in the Quran, it does state that, and it's a fact, it's belonging without question, that if a Jew was hiding behind a tree or a rock, that rock or tree will say, here is a Jew hiding behind me. Kill him. And even when 9/11 happened, look at our own country. There were thousands of people around the world, including in New York City, that were celebrating. They thought that this should have happened. And I just can't understand.
Okay, and I'm running out of time, and I have to let you go, not because of what you're saying, but because I'm a prisoner of the clock. But I will simply say this. When you consider the millions and millions of Muslims in the world, and you balance that out against the terror attacks committed by Islamofascists, mathematically, you have a hard time convincing me that most Muslims follow a doctrine of murdering those who are non-Muslim. Because if that was the case, every day we'd be talking about thousands of dead non-Muslims. And mathematically, that seems to make sense to me. Am I right? Am I wrong? I don't know, but I just try to look at these things as rationally as I possibly can. I want to thank you all for the phone calls, and I really don't believe that the guy who called in earlier, Gon, G-O-N, I don't think he was an idiot at all. I just think he was very emotional. He served in IDF, as I took it. I have no problem with his calling the show again. I just ask that he give me the respect of allowing me to answer a question in a linear fashion to the best of my ability, and then actually listen to the answer without jumping to the next thing. I felt like I was under some kind of cross-examination, and I'm not on trial for anything here. Maybe the court of public opinion, but that's about it. But thank you for all the calls. Much appreciated. I want you to stand by because Tom Puckett is coming up with Buffalo's Evening News from 6 until 7. And then tomorrow, Susan Rose, Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Famer, and Brian Mazurowski, they've got a new morning coming up from 5 until 9. B-Maz and Beamer from 9 until 10. 10 until 2, Medal of Honor recipient, and the master of all media, David Bellavia, will do the show. And then starting at 2 o'clock, things will go noticeably downhill and tumble into mediocrity when I take over from 2 until 6. It's amazing they hired me. Anyway, thanks again, and have yourself a very safe and wonderful weekend. I know, Tanner. Thank you. It is Bowerly for Transit Town Kia, Transit Road in West Seneca. And if you're looking for a new car, in stock right now at Transit Town Kia is a large selection of new Kia vehicles. You know, they just took my Telluride away from me. I was test driving it for the past couple of weeks. I loved that vehicle. I don't usually like big cars, big trucks, but this thing handled like a sports car. It was